Today we're going to be looking at the prologue to the Gospel of John, part of that prologue. I'm going to read from John chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. Listen to these words. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is closest in relationship with the Father, has made him known." A light has come into our world. And as I told you earlier, tomorrow is a celebration of Epiphany. That light came into the world for all people, not just for one nation, one set of people. It came into the world for all people. And since tomorrow is Epiphany, I want to say this to you. The wise men, however many there were, okay, Scripture does not tell us there were three, even though that's what we just sung. Scripture doesn't tell us that. The wise men saw the star on the day that he was born. They had to discern what that star meant, and they had to travel to the place where they believed by discerning where the new king was born. That's why Jesus was visited by the wise men probably when he was about three, somewhere between two and three. They did not come to the manger at the stable. They came to visit the child. It took them time to discern what this star meant and where this. And see, they weren't even quite sure then, because they came to who? King Herod. Because a new king was born, so the king of this area must have a new son. And they came to Herod, and Herod was absolutely surprised that a new king had been born. The wise men were not Jewish. They were of a whole nother religion. And they were able to discern what that star meant from their religion. They were what was called Zoroastrians. And they came from about 1,000 miles away to visit the new king, the true light, as the scripture says. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. You see, the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is that Word. Jesus set aside, and I encourage you to think about this sometime. Jesus set aside all of his rights and privileges as the Son of God and came to earth. as a child. Now, it still baffles my mind that God chooses to come as a child that needs our help. You see, God could have just appeared, right? But God came as a child, setting aside all rights and privileges. And sometimes when I hear people talk about, "I've got my rights," I want to say, so did Jesus. And he set them aside for our benefit. And he became flesh to live on this earth. The book of Hebrews tells us he came and he suffered. He was tempted in all the same ways that we are tempted. But he did not sin. He was even persecuted by those that, what does the scripture say? That he made. You see, it's only through the Word of God that we can know God fully. That's the only way. There is no other way. It's the Word of God. Jesus speaks that time and time again in the Scriptures. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. John chapter 14, verse 6. No other way. It's only through the Word of God that we can fully know God. That's why I enjoy reading the Gospels. Because as I read the Gospels, I see who the Word of God is. And that Word contains everything I need to know about how to know God better, how to love God more deeply, how to love other people the way God loves other people. There's not a person living or that has already died or that will be born that God does not love. Sometimes we recognize people as not worthy of love. God never does that. God never does that. It doesn't matter who they are, what they've done, how wicked or evil we might consider them to be, God loves them. And the Word of God came to this world for them, so that they could come to know the Word of God and in turn come to know God fully. I talked last week about the first role of the church for me is to let the world know that Jesus Christ is the Word of God, is our Savior, and can bring salvation and peace to everyone. Amen. That's the first role of the church. We just don't set up on the street corner and open the doors and say the light is on and most of the heat is here. If you'd like to come in and join us, join us. Sometimes we need to be out in the darkness of the world to let people know. I'm incredibly thankful that somebody came to me in the darkness and let me know about Jesus. I'm incredibly thankful of that every day. But I'm trying to learn Jesus more. You know what? Yet there are many who do not acknowledge the Word, who is Jesus Christ, as God. There are many that do not acknowledge that Word. And not only so much God, but one who's trying to help us. Because sometimes we get that image of God in mind that there's a being up there that's telling us, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. I don't want you to have any fun. Don't participate in that. There's a God up there that says, I've drawn some boundaries for you. And I've drawn those boundaries because when you cross over those boundaries, you will be hurt. Don't we as parents do that for our kids? Don't we find a place for them to say, yes, you can do this, and no, you can't do this? Why do we do that? Is it because we don't want kids to have fun? No. It's because we want them to be safe. Which brings upon, in later years, before they move out of the house, oftentimes a little bit of rebellion and fighting back. Do you know what they're really doing? They want to find out, are the boundaries still there that keep them safe? That's what they want to find out. Do you still love me enough that you're still keeping the boundaries for me? I know, it may feel different. Do you still care for me enough that you're still willing to help me see the boundaries? And that's what God's trying to do. But there are people that don't acknowledge Jesus Christ as doing that. I can go out here on the streets and people probably would tell me they know about Jesus Christ. They know about God. There are even some people that would tell me they know they're Christians. But I question, do they have a deep love relationship with a God who loves them deeply? Do they have that kind of relationship with the Word of God? Think about that phrase just for a minute, the Word of God. A word for good. A word for blessing. Isn't it great to know that word? Isn't it great to know where that word wants you to be? That's why we're going to spend 6 to 9 months to a year talking about how do we discern? How do we understand what the word is saying to us? I struggle with it. I've struggled with it my whole life. And even to this day, I still struggle with it. What is God asking me to be? Before I get to the place of what is God asking me to do, I want to find out, what is it that God wants me to be? For you see, for the longest time, I felt like if I did all the right things, then I would be the right kind of person that God wants. Amen? And Jesus tells the Pharisees who did the right things, you love to clean the outside of the cup, but you didn't clean the inside. Sometimes I need to clean the inside of me before I do. I need to understand what God wants me to be. And what helps me to be the person that God wants me to be? The Word of God wants to do that. Wants to bring that to you. This may be a new idea for you, but it was through the hands of Jesus that each one of us was created. It was through the hands of Jesus. And not only does this scripture support that by saying it was, He did it, the Word of God did it, I can go back to the book of Genesis. And if I read it carefully, what does God say? Let us, wait a minute, let us create God, let us create humanity in our own image. Why does it say us and our? There must have been more than one person there, right? Or one being, I guess I should say. The Trinity already existed at that point. And if nothing else, in the very second verse of Genesis, it says the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters of chaos. And then God creates and God says, that's not good enough. He said it was good. Every day of creation ends with God said it was good. And there was day, or there was night and there was day. And then God said, let us create humanity in our image. And at the end of that day of creation, what did God say? It is very good. Huh. Humanity is important to God. And Jesus Christ comes as flesh and dwells among us. Dwelling is not camping for the weekend. That's not dwelling. Dwelling is coming and existing and staying and continuing to be there. And to this day, Jesus Christ still dwells with us through the Holy Spirit. But the scripture says he came to the world that he created, and they did not recognize him. By the very hands of Jesus, you have been created. And by the hands of Jesus, he wants to grab you by the hand and lead you through this life. Have you ever thought about that? You got up this morning, you got out of bed, and you probably said a prayer similar to the one I pray sometimes in the morning. Lord, I want to live this day for you. And so far, I have done nothing wrong. So far, I haven't said anything to anybody to upset them. So far, I've reached out in love. So far, I haven't kicked the cat. But in a minute, I'm going to get out of bed, and I really need your help. I'm serious. That is one of my favorite prayers. Because I need to make that decision before I get out of bed. Yes, even before the first cup of coffee. I need to make that decision that I'm going to try to get to know the Word of God even better today than I knew it yesterday. Which means I'm going to have to put some time and some effort into that. There's some things that I'm going to have to do. It doesn't come just naturally. And it also doesn't come just by studying. Because you see, I can study this book and know it inside and out. But if it never gets into my heart, it really doesn't do me any good. It's got to get into your heart. And that's why I say the Word of God wants to come every morning and grab you by the hand and say, let's walk through this day together. I want you to know God more fully than you knew God yesterday. I want you to be able to love people more deeply than you loved people yesterday. Hold my hand and walk with me. I will show you how to do that. What an image. The one who created you, the one who came to exist in flesh and dwell among us, the one who died for us in our place, says, give me your hand. I'll walk you through this day. So if we want a relationship with God, we must recognize Jesus Christ. Scripture says there's no other way. One of the things that early on in my life, I studied a lot about Native Americans, which I still continue to feel incredibly bad for. Because of what the Europeans did to them. And I know some of you might go, well, it especially conflicts in my head. And my brother and I have talked about this. You see, I'm a descendant of those who came over on the Mayflower. They came over here for religious freedom. They came over here to live, to follow God the way that they felt God was speaking to them about. And after that first winter, when the Indians helped them through the winter, they massacred thousands of them. Time and time again. The people that came over here to preach the gospel did that. And then I hold that next to the other part of my family. I'm about four or five times removed Seminole Indian from Florida. I think it was my great-great-grandmother was a full-blooded Seminole Indian. So part of me was one who persecuted the Indians, and part of me is an Indian. But you know what one of the things they found out when they came here? They found out that some of the Indian tribes already had a story. It wasn't about Jesus Christ, per se, but yeah, it was. They had a story about a God that sent a son to pay a penalty for them. They didn't know him by the name of Jesus Christ or Word of God, but somehow they already knew the story. And the Europeans just helped them flesh it out better, so that they could come to understand it better. So I think I could boldly say that if we want a relationship with God, we must recognize Jesus Christ. Whether as the Indians did, who were here already and had a different name, but still knew that God and that Son who died for them. That just amazes me that that story already existed. But you know what it tells me? God loves you deeply. And God wants a relationship with you. A relationship that is active, that's committed, that's deep, that's loving every day. Not just every once in a while when it's convenient for your schedule. Every day. So I'm going to ask you this. What step will you take to know Jesus Christ better? What step are you going to take to know Jesus Christ better? If Jesus came in the flesh and dwelt among us and still dwells among us through the Holy Spirit, still wants to grab you by the hand first thing in the morning and walk you through your whole day until you lay down again? What are you going to do to know him better? What are you going to do to know him better? Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful that you came into this world as light, that you opened a door and an avenue and a way for us to understand. But Lord, forgive us. Because sometimes during our day, we don't acknowledge that you're present. And sometimes we do things that we know are not pleasing to you. Lord, teach us. Show us your forgiveness. Show us what you've done for us. Help us to remember it. And help us to know it ever more deeply. And Lord, as we approach this table for today, help us to really take a few moments now to think about all that you've done for us, that we might know love and that we might know blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.